right, you primitive screwheads. Listen up.
Guys, we have a code red.
You mean code red the hospital emergency alert, code red the computer worm, or code red the cherry flavored soft drink from makers of Mountain Dew?
One ring to rule them all.
One ring to find them.
Oh, Jesus.
One ring to bring them all.
And in the darkness, bind them.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
Where's my super suit?
What?
You tell me when I saw this woman!
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run? Did you ever see that?
No, it's probably some dumb sports movie anyways.
Sports movie?
Okay, we gotta put a spotlight on this geek stuff, man.
What the fuck are you bitches babbling about?
We need to bring this to the mainstream, to the people.
Wow, this is even better than I imagined.
We have to show the world that it ain't just about comics and toys.
I have to possess this comic.
Hey, I tried to teach you how to handle comics in the sixth grade, but oh no, you wanted to play Little League instead.
Looks like a really rich fourth grader lives here.
Look at this place, man.
Go look, he's got a billion toys.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Mighty Isis.
We're not about dressing up as Green Lantern.
How often does one see a beloved fictional character come to life?
Every year at Comic-Con.
And hoping for that one day, that one fracking day, for Cylons to bring us down impossible space-age future shit.
That's exactly what it's about.
Oh, really? Yeah, the shit ain't gonna work.
Oh, man! I'm still geeking out about it!
All right, look. There's only one return, okay? And it ain't of the king, it's of the Jedi.
Looks like we got more Lucas hounds here to mock Roddenberry.
You'll have to excuse him. He's not down with the trilogy.
There's only one trilogy, you fucking morons.
Oh, Star Wars geek.
Oh, I'm the geek? Look at you two whipping out your preciouses.
I'm gonna kick your ass back to the Shire if you don't shut your fucking mouth.
We're the stars of this piece of shit!
All right, guys, you have your mission. Go forth and wreak havoc.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Come on, you fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics, he can't fight? Shit! I'll fucking
take all you want! I've got Dungeon Master's Guide. I've got 12-sided die. I've got Kitty Pryde.
Done doing show prep?
At least I do some.
Notes.
Oh, you were talking about Mike. No, yeah, he don't do nothing.
Nope.
Just over there. Just
yeah, that's it.
He's miserable.
Just sits there.
Playing games.
Whatever.
What not.
I just saw the picture of Peck from Mattel.
The Mattel? Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
How's he look?
Not very much like Peck.
I haven't seen it yet.
But the containment unit is nice.
Is nice?
Yeah, it looks just sort of like a generic dude, but it
I'll
could
have
be
to take
prototype.
A look at it later.
All of the prototypes for that line have not looked as good as the.
You mean the finals have not looked as good as the prototypes?
No, I think the opposite.
The prototypes have looked worse, and the finals have been better.
What I mean, I don't remember.
I don't know.
I had it, but then I lost it.
Why don't we start the show?
This is Big Kev's Geek.
There
stuff.
It is.
Episode 176. Sony shits the bed.
Right.
That's it.
That's
no
it.
No debate. Sony shits the bed. The end.
Done. Sony and is it Sony and Fox? Is that who?
Oh,
is that a partnership?
I don't even know. Is it Fox?
I think it's Fox.
I don't think it's Fox. I think this is Fox. All Sony. Isn't it all Sony, this one?
I don't know. I thought Fox was involved.
You know what makes me think Fox? Because I remember in the beginning of Daredevil or Wolverine when the Adamantium fills up 21st Century Fox logo.
Yeah, I was going to say, so, I think yeah. Spider-Man, Daredevil, and Wolverine were all Sony, but Fox was involved.
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely with X-Men, but I'm pretty positive
yeah,
with Spidey,
but definitely with
too.
X-Men, but I don't think Spidey.
I thought so.
Well, I don't know.
I mean, look, I don't know.
Does it
Either
matter?
Way,
Does it
matter? Sony shits the bed.
Sony shits the bed. It was Sony. Sony did it. But we'll talk more about that in segment two. Right now, let's do this.
Geek stuff. What's in the news?
OG, presumably since you have so much fabulous show prep, you must be ready to leap right in with some news.
Right. We're going to get political to open up tonight's show.
Word.
The internets were angry at Mr. President Obama.
Oh, boy.
But he backed down.
Why were they angry?
he was going to have the State of the Union address the same night that Lost was set to premiere.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And people were mad. There were little Twitter campaigns going on and Facebook campaigns, and he has since changed the date of the State of the Union address.
Isn't it a little more important that we have the State of the Union address?
Listen, this is what I'm saying. Put it on CNN. That's all I'm saying.
What,
I'm
State not of saying, the Union or Lost?
Yeah. No. State of the Union. I'm not saying don't do it the night you want to do it, but some of us would rather read the transcript a couple hours later or watch the video the next day. Some of us would rather watch Lost. I'd rather watch Lost.
So would I.
I think it's too important. I think that they should put it on every channel, and everybody should be paying attention to what the president says.
Balls.
That said,
the night that the State of the Union address is, I'm going to find a great video game to play for a while.
That said, it should not be on the night that Lost premieres.
No, that's...
Certainly there's an American Idol or something else that could be blocked.
Sacrificed.
Instead. Yeah. Certainly there has to be a burn notice or a... You know, some other mediocre show. Not Nip Tuck, by the way, which I've been working my way through. Have you ever seen that show?
Only what I saw at your house the other day.
Unbelievable. Have you ever seen that one, Just Mike?
I saw the one where the woman cuts off her tit. That was awesome.
Okay, terrific.
Nice. So it's an amazing show. If you've never seen it, you should check it out.
Letting his personal life leak into the camera again.
No, that was the last
You know,
season.
That episode where the person.
Exactly.
Yeah, there it is.
So Warner Brothers right now is working on what they're calling a modern-day sequel to The Wizard of Oz.
Oh, no. There's already a sequel to The Wizard of Oz.
The story centers on Dorothy Neal, a bright and ambitious young lawyer for a prestigious law firm in Chicago. Neal is the granddaughter of Dorothy Gale, who is now an old woman living in Kansas and telling her tales about her time in the land of Oz to a new generation of kids. However, trouble is afoot in Oz as a new witch is destroying the magic that keeps the entire place running. While babysitting her boss's kid, the kids and Dorothy Neal are brought back to Oz and united with the Cowardly Lion, the Tin Man, and the Scarecrow, and tasked with killing the new evil witch and restoring order to Oz again.
So basically, it's just a bullshit, you know, kind of story.
Bullshit. It's just The Wizard of Oz is really what it is. They're calling it a modern day sequel, but it's really the same story.
Wasn't there Return to Oz?
That was the creepy one where they had their heads came off and shit.
Yeah, weirdo crap.
Freaked me out.
That was a weird one. This sounds like a hacky Hallmark Channel movie to me.
Yes.
You know, like, I'm trying to think of the one. There was, like, a one with Matthew Modine. It was, like, Jack and the Beanstalk modern retelling, which is actually not that bad. But still, I mean, The Wizard of Oz. Didn't they just do Tin Man really recently,
too? Yes,
they did.
They did do Tin Man, yes.
You know, which is another sort of hacky way through The Wizard of Oz. But, yeah, meh.
That's it? That's
all I got.
Star Trek II. Or whatever the name is. Actually,
the
Wrath it's not really
of
two.
Khan.
Because it's not really two. What is it? It's whatever it is.
Well,
it's the follow-up.
Yes.
To J.J. Abrams' smash hit Star Trek last year.
I don't believe that they will start numbering anymore. I think that they will just go with the title, which will be The Wrath of Khan.
June 29th, 2012 is the release date.
The Wrath of Khan.
You can call it whatever you want.
I'm going to call it the finding of Khan, the discovery of Khan.
Khan again.
Yeah.
Khan with the wind.
Khan.
Khan with the wind.
Khan. K-H-A-N-N-E-D. Khaned. What?
Well, whatever it's going to be called.
Hey, look, if that rumor is true, I'm really happy because that's exactly, I mean, he can make movies for 10 years just taking old plot lines from the old TV show, like we suggested, one or two, since it's a movie, maybe two plot lines that somehow can work together and work them together into a movie. You could easily do that.
Sure.
You know, from the original TV series. I mean, and Khan, of course, the iconic villain from as many people feel, is the iconic villain from that series. There was some way to work that story in with another, which I'm sure they will, but I'm sure we won't know it until it's closer. I think that would be awesome. I think that would be very cool. And you said this is when? 2012?
2012. June 2012. It's the weekend before July 4th in 2012.
That's a long way away. Why so far away?
Well, I guess he hasn't really started on it yet. Huh. You figure he starts sometime later this year. By the time it's done and
I guess
filmed, shot, edited, made fancy and pretty.
That Predator movie's like, they started that shit 3 days ago and it's done.
Yeah, well, it's the Predator movie. You know,
I'm just saying.
So am I. Green Lantern all over the news this week and not comic book related, comic movie related.
Yes.
It has a, Warner Brothers has given it a release date of June 17th, 2011. June 17th, 2011.
Everything's like a year and a half away. What if the world blows up?
That's going to suck. Well, what do you want me to say? Oh, actually, going back to the Trek thing, a couple of the articles that I read when they released that date said that the good news is that it's, I think it's a week or two before the Mayan calendar predicts the end of the world.
Well, we'll get that in. Yeah.
We'll have our Trek sequel before that happens. Good. So that's good. Lantern has a date. It's June 17th, 2011 with principal photography beginning, it looks like, in March of this year.
Really?
Yeah, which seems that's kind of far. See, that one to me is kind of far. You know, I don't know. Will it take a year to film and polish off?
You're going to need a lot of CGI with that movie.
You are, but, you know, you need a lot of CGI with a lot of movies.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I'm just saying. I'm just saying it seems far to me. But in addition to that, we have the first kind of hint at additional casting past Ryan Reynolds in the role of Green Lantern, and that would be Peter Skarsgård in the role of Dr. Hector Hammond, who is the villain role for that film, they're saying.
I got no beef with that.
Who's Hector Hammond?
I was just going to ask Just Mike. He's the Green Lantern fan.
He's in love with Carol Ferris, which is the female love interest in the movie.
Okay.
You know the guy with the big giant head? The little body, big giant head?
MODOK?
No, not MODOK. But what makes me happy about that is that they're not going to rush into Sinestro villain because he does not start out as a villain. So that makes me happy.
You don't think that? All right. I don't know. It kind of just seems like you. Yeah. All right. I don't know. I just think you're kind of using an obscure, little known villain. I mean, I'm not saying that it doesn't work. I'm just saying that you have to be careful with it. You know.
Yeah, I agree because people aren't. But people didn't know who the Scarecrow was either, or Ra's al Ghul.
Well, no, but that's not true. I'm going to disagree with you there. Okay. And I'm going to say that people were familiar with the Scarecrow and Ra's al Ghul thanks to the uber success of the Fox animated series.
Okay.
As opposed to, who's Peter Hammond? I mean, I don't know. Was he in, like, the Justice League cartoon? I don't know.
No.
I didn't see all of those episodes. Certainly, there's never been a cartoon centering solely around Green Lantern, at least in modern times, where you could say that the public is familiar with those characters. You know what I'm saying?
I understand what you're saying.
I mean, look, Iron Man took a gamble when choosing their villain and not going for the Mandarin. They went with Ironmonger instead and a little known. And it worked.
Right.
I'm not saying it can't work. I'm just saying that it's surprising, especially because everybody was pretty convinced that it was going to end up being Sinestro. Although, again, we were all kind of convinced and that it was going to be Mandarin in that first Iron Man movie. So,
but, you know, the only thing is that Sinestro starts out in the Green Lantern Corps. So, You know, there's got to be.
So maybe he'll be in there, is what you're saying?
Oh, he'll absolutely be in the movie.
You think so?
100%.
You think it'll be like a big role or like a tease?
I think it's a big role because when Hal Jordan goes to Oa, it's really Sinestro that is. Sinestro is best friends with, you know, Avansur, and I think that he's going to. They're going to set up him as the villain for this.
I was
going to say,
you're just making the assumption though that they're not going to tweak with a lot of that.
There you go. That could be the final blow.
We also have some casting in regards to Blake Lively is going to be in the film as all. She's also going to be playing the love interest, I hear, in this film.
Carol Ferris.
And director is Martin Campbell, the gentleman behind Casino Royale. So if you like that film, that's probably some positive news, yes?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, lovely.
Nothing on Green Lantern? Don't care, not excited, just is what it is?
Meh.
Just kind of meh.
Meh.
That's it, just meh. In a recent interview with one Harrison Ford.
Oh, boy.
He made commentary on what he thought the next Indiana Jones film should entail. But he also said that, you know, there isn't anything yet and that, you know, it would take something, you know, good for him to agree to it and agree to move forward with it.
It didn't take him something good for him to make that last one.
I liked Crystal Skull. I'm not entirely in the minority.
Sorry. Just that movie was a big disappointment.
Did
Sony make that movie? I'm just saying.
I think it would be interesting to advance the understanding of the character as we always have. He follows it up by saying, I think it would be interesting to deepen the relationship between he and his son, Mutt.
Duh.
And play on that relationship. It's full of opportunity. The entire series is still full of opportunity. So, there it is. Which isn't a surprise. We all knew that it was going to be Mutt. We all suspect that it's going to be a passing of the torch by the end of the third one if they actually go forward with three films.
That'd be the fifth one.
The new trilogy.
Oh.
Is what I mean.
Oh, you're assuming there's a trilogy.
Well, that was the intention, I believe, a new trilogy. Well, I'm not saying it's going to happen. I said if they go forward with it. I was specific in what I said.
I'm just saying, sir. I'm just saying that I don't think that the last outing now warrants two more movies because it was disappointing.
Okay. I liked it. Some other people liked it. Some other people hated it. So, you know.
Just saying.
The geek world has creeped into the seedy underbelly of burlesque. Have either of you heard about this? In L.A.?
No.
There was a burlesque club that had I think it was Club Bordello was the name of the club. And they had a Star Wars themed burlesque night.
Nice.
Some of the pictures are very disturbing. Some of them, kind of hot. Some of them, very disturbing. The bondage C-3PO girl. Very, very disturbing.
I don't think I want to know.
But the Stormtrooper was kind of hot. Boba Fett was kind of hot.
She had boobies.
Most of them
Vader was kind of not. I'm trying to think what other ones I saw. But
hot, not.
Yeah, exactly. And then finally, and this is something that is going to lead into the eventual second segment of this show, with Sony shitting the bed. This past week,
right,
it has allowed for other films to move forward and jump in progress, and it would appear that Warcraft has moved up in the ranks, is being made.
Is that a Sony picture?
It is not a Sony picture.
Thank God.
But it is Sam Raimi.
Right.
And it is by the writer who gave us Saving Private Ryan, whose name is eluding me right now, but... But yeah, and I believe I read that it was also going to be a Lich King storyline. So I'm not
quite
sure.
Isn't it Rise of the Lich King?
Rise of the Lich King. So, which Wrath of the Lich King was the expansion. Rise of the Lich King maybe dates back. I kind of think that if they're going to do this movie, they need to, I think they maybe need to go back to like the original game and kind of make it basic.
Well, I think,
like orcs and humans, or you know what I mean? Like orcs, humans, and elves.
Well, I think that's what they'll.
You do too many races and stuff in there. It gets kind of hairy.
I think they got to get in with both feet. You know, the universe is pretty established at this point, you know, with all those people. What is it? 15 million people playing WoW now?
Yeah, no, I'm just thinking that if you try to introduce, you know, humans, orcs, blood elves, night elves, Draenei, you know, and
I'd say they probably cut
goblins.
Off. Maybe they cut off somewhere in there. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
but
like,
you never know.
Like maybe you don't include Draenei and Blood Elves, right? Those were the two that came out with Burning Crusade.
But then you get, where do you get the Lich King?
What do you mean, where do you get the Lich King?
Well, even though that's just Northrend, I mean, it's just kind of feels like you're skipping, you know, making a giant skip.
Wow. Who do you cut out then?
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. I don't know that you necessarily cut out anyone.
All right. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see. But I mean, Saving Private Ryan was an epic war film. So
that's true.
You have a guy like Robert Rodat writing the script for this, right? The dude that wrote Private Ryan.
Uh-huh.
There's potential there at the very least. Now, I'm not saying it's going to be good because in all likelihood, it's going to be crap. But at least there is potential. You have Sam Raimi who hopefully can continue to be a good director.
We'll see.
If given his the opportunity to do what he wants.
Now,
you have a good writer.
Now, how many villains do you think he'll be allowed to have in this movie?
Hoping Lich King.
That was
going for
a big contention, point of contention in the last movie.
That led to bed shitting.
Yes.
Messy underpants.
Right. Messy drawers.
Geek Stuff. DVD News.
And moving right into DVDs.
Wow, we are moving right along.
Yes, sir. We want to
jump.
We want to cram all this new stuff in the beginning so we can just have a nice leisurely conversation about Sony shitting the bed in segment two. I got on Blu-ray The Hurt Locker.
Woo-wee.
I had to go to two stores to get it because it had sold out in the one store and was almost sold. This was the last copy in the second store I went to. They're saying it's a very good movie. That's what I know. It's a war movie. It was directed by Kathryn Bigelow, right?
Yes, it was.
And that's super decade filmmaker James Cameron's ex-wife. One of them.
Because he's
Linda
a
Hamilton
sweetheart.
Also, one of his ex-wives.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a war movie. They're saying it's movie of the year. It could be movie of the decade. Blah blah blah. Even though the decade's like not really very old yet. So there it is. Check that out. Modern war. It's like Iraq, right?
Yes,
it's like
it
the
is.
Iraq War. That's what it looks like. So check that out on Blu-ray, The Hurt Locker. And OG, do you have some other things that came out?
I do. Moon came out this week, which is the film starring Sam Rockwell. It got a limited release, but it's getting a little bit of buzz now that it's been released on DVD. It involves Sam Rockwell's character. He's got some sort of contract with an industry mining on the moon. That's the only part of the story that I know for sure. I had heard that the twist in the story is that he's not actually on the moon, that it was like a social experiment, kind of like the Truman Show.
Right. Yeah, I've heard something along
those
lines.
So I don't know if that's actually the case or not, but I've been hearing pretty good things, and it's probably worthwhile. I don't know that I'm going to pick it up, but I'll definitely throw it on my Netflix list.
Okay.
Also out this week, ER, the complete 12th season.
How in the hell did I miss that?
Well, your DVD guy is slacking.
I might have to take a switch to Best Buy Billy.
I don't want to call his name out. You know, I don't want to, like, throw him under the bus.
Call
but...
him out. Best Buy
not...
Billy.
No,
what
you're
happened?
Doing it, not me.
Best Buy Billy. What happened? ER, season 12.
I don't know. Just, you know.
What else?
Transformers season 2, volume 2 out this week on DVD. Robin Hood, the BBC series, season 3 out on DVD this week.
You still watching that?
I stopped because I lost BBC America for a while.
Oh.
But I'm picking it back up, and I actually just got season 1 again on Blu-ray, so I'll be watching that again.
Season 3 had an African-American-looking monk in the center of it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I saw
that. No.
Yeah, no, I know, because...
No. Just doesn't work.
Halloween 2.
Now, this is...
The Rob Zombie follow-up.
Right, this is the Rob Zombie. They say this one is very good. At least that's what I've heard. It's very good. I haven't seen it, and I didn't pick it up, but I heard it's very good.
Also, The Simpsons, 20th season.
Yeah, now explain this to me. They released season 12 and then released season 20.
Right.
Where are the other 8 seasons in the middle there?
They'll come.
7 seasons. Where are they?
They'll come.
Just because it's the 20th anniversary, they have to release season
20? It's a promotional thing. You know how that works.
Dumb. Dumb with a B.
And finally out this week in the Just Mike... pedo category, Make It or Break It, season 1, volume 1.
Oh yeah, baby.
So
what's Make It or Break It?
That's that that gymnastics show. I think it's on ABC with the young ladies.
Dude. All right, let's cut it off right there.
It's the pedo category. It's for Just Mike.
Did you
that's it. That's DVDs.
Did you happen to
Last Action Hero on Blu-ray this week?
Nice.
Oh, really?
I'm not even lying.
First DVD I ever bought.
Is it going to be the first Blu-ray you ever bought? Oh, no, you own another Blu-ray, right?
I do.
Geek Stuff. Comic news.
Smell that? That's the smell of new comic books.
Comic books to check out this week. There are precious few. In fact, I only got 2. Batman 695 by Tony Daniel and Sando Florella.
Right.
Mike, what can you tell us about Batman?
I actually read it before I came over here. It really
nothing really happened. Of all the ones that really have come out in this four-part series by Tony Daniel, the art in it is the best, actually, of his arc so far. He really did a very nice job with it. But nothing happened to the last page. Let me put it that way. I don't want to give a spoiler alert, but the last page kind of told the story. But other than that, it was a little boring.
Yes, that is very interesting. Last page, yeah. I've just flipped through. I also picked up The Shield, number 5. Terrific book. The Shield and the Web, both really good books. Second feature in this one is Inferno. Also a very good story happening there. That's it for comics for me this week. Comic books. Did you guys pick up anything else that you wanted to mention?
I've begun reading Blackest Night.
Yay.
But I haven't exactly picked them up.
Yes.
Today,
yes.
So much as I've acquired them.
Yes, I got you. Yes, he's acquired them. Anything else to mention?
Nothing.
Well, I will mention Buck Rogers in the 25th Century, The Complete Newspaper Dailies, Volume 3, 1932 to 1934. Now, this is, you know, the trend in the last couple of years has been to collect these old strips from different things. The one we mentioned most on this show, I think, is Peanuts. We've mentioned the Bloom County one was recently. This, folks, is the one that you should be picking up. Not that you shouldn't be picking up those other ones.
No, I was going to say, Bloom County and Peanuts.
But, I mean, your science fiction roots are right here in the Buck Rogers daily cartoon strip from the 30s and 40s. This is it. This is 1932 to 34. The dailies. I've been reading through these. So many sci-fi innovations happening in this strip that you're like, oh my God, they did that in this years later. Oh my God, they used that for this years later, and
it's
so
like
on and so forth.
The grandfather.
It is. It is. And you really appreciate your science fiction of today by looking at what these poor kids had to
endure.
had to endure back then. They didn't know. But now we have all these innovations and stuff, and a lot of them started right in Buck Rogers in the 25th century. It's from Hermes Press. You can go to Google and Google Hermes Press and learn more about their Buck Rogers strip.
Don't hit images when you do that, by the way.
Why?
Hermaphrodite.
Oh, no, it's Hermes, sir.
I'm sorry.
H-E-R-M-E-S Press. Also, you might want to check out the pamphlet known as Toy Fair 151 has come out at $5 for 64 pages, 65 pages if we count the back cover.
Goddamn ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's nice. They have some pictures of some upcoming stuff. That's really almost the whole magazine these days. There's a couple of spotlight articles on different things as there normally is. I'm sorry, it's just I don't believe it's worth $5 anymore, especially since you know they've thinned it out so much. What they're really pushing, they have of course it's bagged with whoever purchased the opportunity to have their flyer or whatever attached to it. They're also pushing geekchicdaily.com. Sign up, it's free.
Okay, so Geek Chic Daily, right? This is some sort of partnership that Garib Sheamus was involved in and somebody else. To launch a daily geek-related, it's Garib Sheamus and Mandalay Entertainment's Peter Guber. It's a digital entertainment daily newsletter called Geek Chic Daily, right? Where they talk about all these products and comics and et cetera. You know, things within the genre.
Right.
So, whatever. So, I follow Wizard on Twitter because it brings me rage and anger, and sometimes it helps fuel my day. And they're posting about stuff, and I see a post the other day for the Dr. Horrible maquettes, the animated maquettes, and I'm like, I'm kind of interested. Let me go read it, even though I'm not going to buy those because they're way too expensive. Sorry, QMX. So I go to the article, right, and I'm reading the article. Do you know not once in the article do they mention that QMX is the manufacturer behind the product?
No, of course not.
How do you... But they link to Entertainment Earth.
Where you can buy it.
Where you can buy it.
Yeah, because they have a paid association with Entertainment Earth.
Right. And I appreciate that, but how do you not mention QMX? I understand that it benefits QMX in the long run.
Right.
Right. But how do you not mention QMX? And I have nothing against Entertainment Earth.
Right.
I use Entertainment Earth.
Sure.
I like them, and we have an affiliate account with them, and
sure.
blah, blah, blah for ourselves.
They have no partnership with QMX. Therefore, they are obliged only to, I think, this is the same problem that Wizard Entertainment has had for a long time. It's whoever they're in bed with, which is why, what does Just Mike say? When was the last time you saw a DC cover?
Yep.
On Wizard, it's because they have a relationship, whatever that relationship is, and I won't speculate, with Marvel. Therefore, you see clearly tainted, slanted Marvel coverage in Wizard Entertainment products.
I just don't understand how you write a product review blog or a product promotional blog, and that would be like us reviewing the Avatar figures and never once mentioning that Mattel
made
out.
Them. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
How do you do that? I mean, maybe I'm just reading too far into it, or I'm getting upset over something stupid, but to me, that's kind of not doing your due diligence. It's kind of shoddy reporting is the point that I think that I was trying to make.
Geek stuff. Product reviews.
Right. In products tonight, do you have any?
I got nothing.
I got one. I just want to talk about it real quick because we have many associations with this product, or one. This is the latest from DC Direct in their Batman Black and White statue line. Now, we've talked about this for a number of years. I don't even know. It's been such a long time. This is individual artist's interpretation of the character of Batman done in black and white. This sprung out of a couple of books called Batman Black and White, where they did all stories just done in black and white of Batman. This terrific statue series sprung out of that. We got to have 2 dozen at this point, don't we? Or
at
close
least.
To it. Interpretations of Batman. They've also done the Joker and Penguin, which we didn't agree with. They also did 2 special editions. One based on Batman Gotham Knight and the other one based on Batman Gotham Knight 2, which we felt were not, which kind of broke the mold for the series a little bit, but we're kind of very forgiving because we get pieces like the one we're going to talk about right now. It's Batman Black and White based on the art of Lee Bermejo. That's Bermejo if you want to look up and see his work. I don't know exactly what series he did. But this happens to be sculpted by a friend of ours, Gene St. Jean.
Gene is a swell guy.
Gene St. Jean. I'm not sure exactly how to pronounce it. What?
He did that Joker book.
What Joker book? Oh, did he do the Joker?
He did just called Joker.
Yeah, Joker.
Yeah.
Oh, that one was excellent. Was that him?
That's what he did. Yep.
Wow. Well, okay. Well, now that makes this one even a whole lot better. What we have is it's about a 6-inch tall black and white figure of Batman. I'll tell you what I like about this is it seems very realistic. The suit has a lot of, what would you call it, like plates sewn mm-hmm. into it. You know, like Kevlar kind of.
Right.
It seems a Kevlar-type suit.
Okay, it's
like the Dark Knight suit.
It is a lot like the Dark Knight suit, but not in black.
Right,
it's the traditional black and gray, but a lot more like the Dark Knight suit, where it seems like plates, and there's, you know, and the spaces between the plates are where, you know, you kind of see that there are spaces between the plates.
Right.
The sculpting is fantastic. He's really captured an attitude here and a realism that I think haven't been present in all of these. But again, you have to have that sort of realism in the design, in the work of the artist, in order for the sculptor to be able to capture it. You know, some of the ones we've discussed in the past, is it the Azzarello one? Maybe not Azzarello. There's some of them that are really, of course, very outlandish and very unrealistic. I feel that this is definitely in the more realistic category.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, fair enough.
So there it is. Gonna run you about $80. These have seen a significant price increase since they started. I think when they first started, they were like 50 or 60. And now they're up to 80. Whew, boy, that economy is really fucking us all, isn't it?
A little bit.
And yeah, there it is. These are now, I think these are quarterly now. I think we're seeing 4 year on these. So we got three more months till the next one. I'm not sure who the next one is, but we'll look forward to seeing him. So there it is. It's from DC Direct, of course. Go to dccomics.com/DC Direct to check out this and other fine products from DC Direct. Batman Black and White, based on Lee Bermejo, sculpted by Gene. I'll say Gene St. John until I'm corrected by Gene.
Okay.
So there it is. And with that, we'll take our first break, and we'll be right back with segment two on Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 176, Sony Shits the Bed.
Combo Breaker!
ComboBreaker.com makes original video game t-shirts that gamers want to wear. Head over to ComboBreaker.com to shop for original gaming t-shirts based on some of the best games ever made. From the classics to the soon-to-be classics, check out Combo Breaker's first round of shirts featuring designs inspired by your old-school favorites like Simon's Quest, Metroid, Punch-Out, and Star Fox. And just in time for the long-anticipated release of Street Fighter IV, pre-order your Raging Demon t-shirt now. But that's not all. ComboBreaker.com also brings you unbiased reviews and a damn good podcast to boot. So head over to the iTunes store, search for Combo Breaker, and subscribe today.
If you're in the tri-state area, pick up your ComboBreaker.com apparel at Digital Press Video Games, 387 Piaget Avenue, Route 46 East, Clifton, New Jersey.
And for a limited time, visit ComboBreaker.com and enter coupon code GeekStuffXM during checkout for an extra 10% off your next order.
That's ComboBreaker.com for the best in original gamer designs.
You know it.
Combo Breaker!
Fuck, fuck, fuck. Mother, mother, fuck. Mother, mother, fuck, fuck. Mother, fuck, mother, fuck. Noinch, noinch, noinch. One, two. One, two, three, four. Noinch, noinch, noinch.
Hey, this is Jason Mewes, and you are listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff. Snitch.
Who smokes the blunts? Who smokes the blunts? Rolling blunts and smoking.
Yes, bitch.
Spider-Man, Spider-Man, just whatever a spider can. Spins a web in his eyes, catches thieves just like flies. Yeah, here comes Spider-Man.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 176, Sony Shits the Bed.
OG, what did we talk about tonight on Big Kev? Oh, wait. No.
We can do that if you want. I mean,
no.
We could just let it hang out
we
there.
Just can't.
I think everybody knows.
Everyone would be very pissed if we didn't share our opinions
but
on
they
this
know
horrendous topic.
So, Sam Raimi.
Coming across the wires.
Stuck to his guns. Said, fuck you. And Sony showed him the door.
Yeah. Sam Raimi off of Spider-Man 4. Spider-Man 4, as we know it, canceled.
Reboot.
Well, let's,
being
before we go there, let's deal with what happened to the one we knew.
All right. Before we heard that it had rebooted, was going to be booted.
Right.
We heard that John Malkovich confirmed that he was indeed waiting for a script to potentially play the Vulture.
And we reported that on this program. We also reported on this program that Sam Raimi and Sony were having words and disagreements about how to proceed with the Spider-Man 4 movie. The word on the street was Sony wanted multiple villains. Sam wanted one villain.
Specifically in the villains department, which we know was one of the significant issues with Spider-Man 3.
Call it what it is. Failure of Spider-Man 3.
Well,
it was
the whole movie
failure.
Was a failure.
Three
but
villains.
But the villains was
failure.
A significant issue with Spider-Man 3.
Three villains. Failure.
Yes, I understand.
I'm just
saying that that's what it was an issue within the failure that was Spider-Man 3.
Yes.
So Sam Raimi did not want to continue down that track.
Right.
And last week we reported this, and you actually said that you thought it was Bravo Sierra and that it was Raimi just posturing, when in fact it wasn't Raimi just posturing. He actually was legitimately concerned. He said no, and Sony said, go fuck yourself.
Well, I sit corrected, because what I thought was this was Sam Raimi saving face, saying, hey, I tried, kids, but they told me no, so I had to go forward and make the movie they wanted me to make.
No.
I'm wrong, because
you are wrong.
Sam said, I'm not going to do this, and Sony said, all right, fuck off.
You're out. And not only are you out, but so is Tobey Maguire, Kirsten Dunst.
Now, they went with Sam. That's yes. My understanding is that if there's no Sam Raimi,
but
they option out.
But.
Right.
But almost immediately, Sony had leaked inklings of their plans for the future of the franchise, which clearly would have no home for Tobey Maguire.
Right. And
clearly. So it was, I think that was kind of, the Tobey Maguire part was the mutual breakup.
Right.
That was the both parties agree breakup. Sam was not. Raimi was not. That was a fuck you leave.
But I think, what I think happened is, I think we're mushing it together when we should not. What I think occurred is that, what my understanding is that they're all signed on conditionally as long as Sam Raimi is directing the movie. So when Sam Raimi gets the boot, they walk regardless of what Sony's plans are. So if Sony's plans had been to move forward with Spider-Man 4,
right,
the sequel to the ones we've seen so far, and do their multiple things and get a new director, that they wouldn't have Tobey Maguire. And what's
as
her
we
name?
Understand it, that was
right.
But if Sony had said, look, we want to move forward with Spider-Man 4, here's a bajillion dollars to do it, Toby may have done it.
Well, maybe.
So what I'm so that's the point that I'm making, is that it was clear that this was a break.
Right.
Completely.
But more so because apparently with them moving forward, they are moving forward with a what they're calling a reboot. I'm calling Bravo Sierra on the reboot, because I don't think it's a reboot unless they're going to do this in the way that they did The Incredible Hulk.
I think that it's a reboot, and I'll tell you why.
So you think they're going to retell the origin story?
Absolutely, and I'll tell you why.
All right.
Because in order for them to do the same thing that they did with the Hulk,
right?
You could say the Hulk wasn't a sequel, but really it kind of was, because they set it up in the origin that it was a sequel, right?
Right.
And there was progress with the character.
Right.
The character didn't go backwards in time in that new Hulk movie.
Right.
Sony's official press release is that this is going to bring Peter back to high school.
Uh-huh.
And it's going to be a grittier, darker story about Spider-Man in high school moving forward. You can't hash over the origins that way then. Because at the end of Spider-Man 3, he was out of high school. He was out of college working
clearly.
For Osborn.
Oh, right.
So it has to be a reboot. It can't just be a gloss over, move forward.
Well, it doesn't have to be a reboot necessarily, because unless they're going back and changing the origin somehow, they don't need to retell the entire origin in a film. What they could do is they could do that whole recapping the origin, but just bring the story right up to the point where he's still in high school.
But even if they do that then, right, it's still not the same as what they did with the Hulk. It's still a little bit
different.
It's
not the same because it's not
really
a direct sequel.
Because you can really make a very strong argument that the Hulk was a sequel.
Oh, I say the Hulk is a sequel.
You know what I mean? You can make a really strong argument that
the Hulk
was a sequel.
Is a sequel. Right. The Incredible Hulk is a sequel.
Some people would disagree with you.
Just because they...
You can make a strong argument.
Right.
I think that you would have a hard time
doing that,
making
with
a strong argument. If what they said is correct,
right,
you would have a hard time making the argument that this is actually Spider-Man 4.
I say that
as
this
opposed
is,
to that was Incredible
right.
Hulk 2.
This is Spider-Man 1.5.
Yeah, it's Ultimate Spider-Man. It's whatever you want to call it. But
I'm saying this film could still take place within the universe that they've already created.
Right.
By doing, like they did in The Incredible Hulk, they recap the events of the origin and the first movie, and this is now the second movie. He's still in high school. He still has gone through the event. The character, not the actor, clearly, but the character has still gone through the events of the first movie already, so they're not retelling the origin again. Because, for God's sake, has it been a decade since the first movie?
Just about.
Yeah, it actually was.
All right, so let's say it has. So any 5, 6, 7, 8-year-olds are still, you know, 17, 18, 19 years old here. You know, I don't think there's a need to retell the origin, especially since we live in a DVD world, that it would just be ridiculous to make another $10 million movie that retells the origin they've already... $10 million. Look at me. $50 million movie that retells the origin that's clearly already been told. So I agree with you that it is not a direct sequel in sequence, but it can be and probably will be a sequel that is out of sequence. So if we're calling Spider-Man 1, 2, 3 that we've already seen, this Spider-Man movie, if they were going to number it, would be something like Spider-Man 1.5. Something that takes place before 2, clearly.
Okay.
That's what I think. My opinion.
I mean, look, only time will tell.
But look, this is a trend in shitty Marvel movie moves.
Well, hold on. Let's clarify that.
Okay.
This is not a trend in shitty Marvel movie moves. This is because this isn't technically a Marvel movie.
Okay. Point.
Right? I just want to clarify.
Yeah, you're right.
Because Iron Man is a Marvel movie.
Right.
Spider-Man was a Sony movie.
Right. So what we mean
with
by
Marvel character.
What I meant by Marvel movies is not Marvel Productions.
I just wanted to clarify. I understood what you meant. But
under the umbrella of Marvel characters.
Right.
Right. And let's talk about a few of them now.
Sure.
They just announced another Ghost Rider movie.
Ew.
Yes.
Now, clearly the first Ghost Rider movie was, to many people, a failure. I didn't think it was so bad, but I also didn't think it was good. So there's that. We've also discussed on this program a rebooting of the Daredevil franchise. Has also been discussed recently on this show and has been bandied about as being another reboot. But again, I don't know about that one, whether that would be a Marvel production or whether that would be a reboot of the movie, whoever made that Daredevil movie, production company-wise, whether that was Sony or somebody else. I don't remember exactly. That might have been Fox.
I'm going to guarantee Fox because, again, the 21st Century logo was seen in how Daredevil saw things when he was blind.
Okay.
I remember
so that
seeing
was,
that. Yeah.
All right. So if that was Fox. Wolverine was a prequel to the X-Men movies, which had some, with all due respect, some bullshit ties into the pre-X-Men universe, which nobody liked or appreciated, or could understand or could wrap their heads around because it just didn't work, you know, in that sense. We've also discussed on this program the rebooting of the Fantastic Four.
Right.
Which, again, doesn't make a lot of sense considering you now have two movies out there. Whether you liked them or hated them, I didn't think they were so bad.
They weren't as bad as X-Men 3 and Spider-Man 3.
I agree with that.
Or Wolverine, for that matter.
Yeah, they really weren't bad.
In conclusion, what we should say is, what I think, in my opinion, is I think that Marvel is kind of their movies and not production, but Marvel characters movies, Marvel
right.
Universe movies are kind of all over the place, and these rampant, rapid reboots are destroying any credibility that the characters have on film.
Right. So essentially, the Marvel films are taking the same exact path. They're essentially in the back of the train. They're in the coal car in the back of the comics.
Right.
The comic books.
Yep.
Because they've rebooted characters, they've rebooted entire continuities.
Yep.
The continuities are all over the place.
Yep.
There's no correlation. There's no there's lack of good writing. Yep. There's lack of good storytelling. The movies are really they're
shameful.
Stepping in the same footsteps that the books have taken. They're just a couple years behind.
Yeah,
that's all.
Yeah, essentially that's it.
It's a Marvel trend.
You know what?
Unfortunately,
because
I love the Marvel characters.
Right.
You know, we always bash on them, but really, I have more love for the Marvel characters overall than I do for the DC. I was a Marvel kid growing up.
Your generation.
I was a
Marvel
kid.
Yeah.
You know, with the exception of maybe Batman.
Right.
Right. That was the only DC character that I read.
For the longest time.
Everything else that I read, yeah. It was Spidey. It was X-Men. It was the Avengers. I was a Marvel kid,
right.
You know? So I do have a love for those characters.
I totally agree with
you. It's just a shame to see where they've gone.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat as you. The X-Men were my characters. The first con, we were at a con this weekend,
yep.
And on the table, I pointed out to OG that one of the first two comic books I ever bought was there on the table, and it was X-Men 120, first appearance of Alpha Flight, by the by.
Nice.
But that was one of the first comic books I bought. The second one was Marvel 2-in-1 Thing and Quasar.
Nice.
Those are the first two comic books I ever bought, or I ever remember buying, I should
not
say.
Really nice.
And, well, X-Men was. But the point being is that, yeah, I mean, yeah, I grew up with these characters also, and it's a shame to see that they, the books have gone by the wayside for the most part, but now the characters on film, which I have enjoyed. I've enjoyed the Fantastic Four movies. I've enjoyed those characters maybe for the first time ever. I enjoyed... Although I was a big fan of Daredevil before the movie. I liked the Daredevil movie. I was a big fan of Ghost Rider. Didn't like that movie so much, but didn't hate it.
Oh, that movie.
I didn't hate it, but I didn't like it so much
now,
either.
Nicolas Cage made
me
want to
slip
my
wrist. Me and OG have the Nick Cage bias.
Yeah, I was never a Spider-Man comic book fan, but I liked those Spider-Man movies, except
the
third one.
I liked the first two a lot.
Yeah, the first two were great. The third one, not so much. The point is that these movies were reinvigorating me as a Marvel fan, and now they're losing me as a Marvel fan. With the exception of Iron Man, of course. I was never a fan of Iron Man in any way until that movie. Ever. I thought Tony Stark was a douche, especially in the last couple of years. He's been a real big douche in the Marvel Universe. I really liked the movie. I'm really looking forward to the Cap movie. You know, like, I have a love and appreciation for Marvel characters on film, but they are, again, they're doing the same thing. They're making me love these characters just like they did in the comics, which they will eventually totally screw up in the movies, much like they did in the comic books. X-Men is all over the place. I couldn't even tell you who is on the X-Men team, and I've been reading the book for 30 years.
Again, bring it back in. The films.
The
Sony shit the bed.
There it is.
Let's take a break.
And we'll be right back. Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 176, Sony Shits the Bed.
Hey, this is OG. Big Kev's Geek Stuff reaches tons of listeners each month across multiple platforms, and now so can you. If you're trying to reach the geek community, Big Kev's Geek Stuff offers some great advertising opportunities for your products or services at great rates. You won't find a better way to reach your target market than through advertising with Big Kev's Geek Stuff. So head over to BigKev'sGeekStuff.com and click on the advertising link and start reaching potential new buyers immediately.
Wow. With all the flair and delivery of a corpse.
Greetings, Starfighter. You have been recruited by the Star League to defend the frontier against Zur and the Kodan Armada.
Hey, this is Lance Guest from The Last Starfighter, and you are listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
It'll be a slaughter!
That's the spirit!
Geek Stuff is wrapping up.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 176, Sony Shits the Bed.
Yep, Sony Shits the Bed. What did we talk about, OG, besides Sony shitting the bed? On this episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
The internet says no to President Barack Obama. We want Lost. And Lost won. Also, Warner Brothers is currently working on a modern-day sequel to The Wizard of Oz. Star Trek, the next one. has a release date of June 29th, 2012, which is just before the Mayan calendar end of the world. So we'll get that for sure.
I'm calling it Khand.
Right.
K-H-A-N-N-E-D.
And I'm calling it Khand with the wind. What I'm calling it.
Khand with the wind. I'm calling it Khand. Does Mike something?
No. Green Lantern movie also has a release date. We're adding Blake Lively and Peter Skarsgård to that film. Harrison Ford had some comments to say about Indiana Jones that were vague and irrelevant because it's shit we knew already.
Indiana Jones Part 5.
Right. The Star Wars burlesque creepiness, although the Stormtrooper did have tatas.
Yeah, very nice one.
And Raimi hopefully moving forward with the World of Warcraft movie now that Sony has shit.
Right. DVDs tonight, I got on Blu-ray The Hurt Locker. Is the only one I picked up. What were some of those releases?
Also out this week, Moon, ER Season 12, Robin Hood Season 3, Halloween 2, Simpsons 20th Season, and Transformers Season 2, Volume 2.
Wonderful. In comics, we mentioned you might want to check out Batman 695, The Shield Number 5, Buck Rogers in the 25th Century, Volume 3, Dailies, from 1932 to 1934, and also the pamphlet known as Toy Fair. I think it was 151. And I'm correct.
In product reviews tonight, we talked about the next release in the Batman Black and White line.
Right, this one designed by Lee Bermejo, B-E-R-M-E-J-O, who did that great Joker book. Just Mike remembered that. Sculpted by a friend of the show, our friend Gene St. John, a terrific sculptor. He used to be the head of sculpting over at McFarlane and has recently gone rogue, as the vernacular suggests lately. And this is a terrific piece from him. You should definitely check it out. DC Comics, all one word, dccomics.com/DC Direct. You can check out all the great products from DC Direct over there.
In segment two of tonight's show, we talked about the debacle surrounding the Spider-Man film franchise. Sam Raimi obviously leaving because he was sticking to his guns, Sony showing him the door, and what may or may not be a reboot or a Spider-Man 1.5 or whatever they're going to call it or whatever it becomes, something of the franchise. And that was it.
Yeah.
And I think that's it. Don't forget, you can check us out each and every week over at BigKevsGeekStuff.com. We have all the episodes. We have some Studio Vs, hopefully some more of those coming down the pipeline soon. We still have the Big Kev's Geek Stuff t-shirts for sale. You can follow us on Twitter, BK Geek Stuff, for the show itself. Just Mike, BKGS for Just Mike, and Geek Stuff OG for myself.
Yeah, you know, you can check out those the Just Mike ones if you want to feel better about yourself. Yeah.
Right.
That's why I'm here.
Right. And remember, parents, if you have young children, lock your doors.
I'm coming.
You're trying to paint him in an ugly picture, I think.
No, I do it myself.
He's painting himself.
No,
I've seen what he posts.
And with that, Just Mike, do you have any final words for Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 176? Sony shits the bed.
Hermaphrodite.
And on that note, we cue the music.
Spider-Man, Spider-Man, does whatever a spider can. Spins a web any size, catches thieves just like flies. Look out, here comes the Spider-Man. Is he strong? Listen, bud. He's got radioactive blood. Can he swing from a thread? Take a look overhead. Hey there, there goes the Spider-Man. In the chill of night, at the scene of a crime, by the street of light, he arrives just in time. Spider-Man, Spider-Man, friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. Welcome fame, he's ignored. Action is his reward to him. Life is a great big hang-up. Wherever there's a hang-up, you'll find a Spider-Man.